We are in Psalm 8 again this afternoon. Psalm 8. If you would please stand, I want to read that 9-verse psalm. To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. Last week, in terms of man, we looked at the insignificance of man in light of God's creation, the vastness of that creation, the majesty of that creation, the glory of that creation. Man seems like but a speck, an insignificant speck in relationship to God's creation. This afternoon, we want to look at the dignity or the significance of man. And we find that dignity and significance in verses 5 through 8. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So, in verse 4, David asserts that man has been crowned with glory and honor. This means that God has given human beings, mere specks in the vast universe, a significance and honor above everything else he has created. David makes this point in two ways. First, he uses the word glory, which he first used of God, of mere man. Verse 1 says, "You have set your glory above the heavens." This is a glory that surpasses even the great and overwhelming glory of what God has created. But in verse 5, he says, speaking of men and women, "You have crowned him with glory and honor." This is an effective way of identifying man with God and of saying that he has been made in God's image, reflecting God's glory in a way that no other parts of creation do. Man is special. Man is a special creation, God's crowning glory in creation. The second way that David emphasizes man's special significance is by speaking of his role as ruler, or as one who exercises dominion over what God has created. Man has dominion, he has rule, he has authority over what God has created. And he shares, God shares that rule and authority with man. We read in 1 Timothy 6:15 that of God, that he is the blessed and only potentate or ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, God shares that rule, that authority, that dominion with mankind. James Montgomery Boyce comments, "In my opinion, the most striking aspect of Psalm 8 is the way in which it places man in what has been called a mediating position in the universe. Thomas Aquinas, the great early theologian, was one of the first to stress this, say that Psalm 8 places man midway between the angels, which are above him, and the beasts, which are below. Man is a spirit body being, according to Aquinas. Angels have spirits, but no bodies. Animals have bodies, but no spirit. Man, however, has both a spirit and a body, and so comes in between. He is midway on the scale of creatures. That is exactly what Psalm 8 describes. In this section, verses 5 through 8, David alludes to the first chapter of Genesis, which shows he was thoroughly acquainted with the book of Genesis. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, that God created man in his image, and that God gave him dominion over all that he created. But when the psalm says that men are a little lower than the angels, rather than a little higher than the beast, it could have been written the other way around. If man is really a mediated being, as the psalm maintains, then it would have been equally accurate to have described him as slightly higher than the beast rather than as a little lower than the angels. But it does not. And the reason it does not is because men and women have been made in the image of God. In the Hebrew text, the word in verse 5, translated angels, is actually the word Elohim, the plural word for God. In Genesis 1, Elohim is the word exclusively used of God. In those verses 1:26 through 27 that I referenced just a minute ago, we read this: Then God, Elohim, said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over everything creeping that creeps on the earth. So God, Elohim, created man in his own image, in the image of God, Elohim. He created him, male and female, he created them. Elohim is also used in the Old Testament to refer to heavenly or spirit beings. An example would be in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 13, where the witch of Endor says that she sees spirits, Elohim, emerging from the ground. Psalm 82 also uses the word in this way in verses 1 through 6. For this reason, and perhaps also for the sake of modesty, not wanting to say that men and women are only a little lower than God, the Septuagint translators of the Old Testament used the Greek word for angel in Psalm 8. And now when you read in Hebrews chapter 2, the writer of Hebrews, referring to Psalm 8, uses the Septuagint translation of the psalm and says that God made man a little lower than the angels. But the translation could rightly be that God created man a little lower than himself. And there are many commentators that believe that that is actually the way it should be taken. And so, what a great dignity has been placed on man, that we have been made in the image of God. We bear a likeness to God, and that is what gives us our significance. That is what gives us our dignity. That is what gives us our worth, that we are a little lower than the God who made us. Now, you might say, no, we're not just a little bit lower, we're way lower than God. And that is absolutely true. But we do bear his image, as the scripture teaches. We have been made in the image of God. and therefore are so much unlike the animals that God also created. James Montgomery Boyce says this, "But here's the sad thing. Although made in God's image and ordained to become increasingly like the God to whom they look, men and women have turned their backs on God. And since they will not look upward to God, which is their privilege and duty, they actually look downward to the beast, and so become increasingly like them." The great example of this, of course, would be King Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, whose story is told in Daniel chapter 4. You might remember on one occasion Nebuchadnezzar was out taking a look at this great kingdom, he says, he is responsible for. In fact, he says this, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" It was a classic statement, Boyce says, of what we would today call secular humanism, describing creation as a man, by man, and for man's glory. And the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven telling Nebuchadnezzar that God would make him like one of the what? Like one of the beasts. And that is exactly what happened. And so it was. Nebuchadnezzar became insane. It is insanity to take the glory of God for myself. And it is insanity for mankind. And that's where we are in our culture. It is insanity for us to think that we can displace God and become like God ourselves in the way that we live, and in the way that we think, and in what we do. Instead of becoming more godlike because we have jettisoned our belief in God, because we pay no attention to God's authoritative word, instead of looking to God, and instead of showing forth the image of God, although it has been greatly marred because of our fall into sin, it nevertheless still remains, we become more and more like the animals. And after all, isn't that what evolution tells us that we are? We are just a little bit not lower than God or the angels, but we're just a little bit higher than the animals. We're just a little step up on the evolutionary change, the evolutionary scale, but we are still nonetheless animals. And as we look downward instead of upward, I think Boyce's point is well taken, that we become more like animals in our behavior. And we certainly see that in our own culture. So, God has given man a special position. He is a little lower than the angels. He has given man a special privilege to exercise dominion over his creation. But there's a big, big problem. And that is man's sin. Because what happened after man sinned, after Adam sinned? Well, things got really difficult for man. Man's responsibility in exercising dominion was to multiply so that man would have children that would inhabit the earth. Then what happened? Well, childbirth became much more painful and much more difficult. The man was to till the ground, exercising dominion, and bring forth fruit from the soil. But what happened after man's fall? Well, now the ground is cursed because of man's sin. And man has to fight weeds and thorns and thistles and I see that in my lawn. I have a lawn care service that comes out and sprays my yard every now and then. And it's supposed to look nice and be weed-free. It's never been weed-free, and it never will be. it just seems it's better than it used to be, but it's not as good as I would like it. Why is that? Why the weeds? Why the thorns? Why the thistles? Well, it was because of man's sin. So exercising dominion becomes more problematic for man. Man does not, as much as we would like, to think that we can exercise dominion over the weather. We have hurricanes, we have tornadoes, we have earthquakes, and all sorts of natural occurrences that are problematic for us. And it's not just because of climate change. It is because of man's sin that we experience all those difficulties. And man has lost dominion, lost rule over himself. We have a hard time exercising rule over our own behavior, the things that we say, the things that we think, the things that we do. And so we have lost, to a great degree, the ability to exercise dominion over the world that God has created. So what does God do? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Because if there is a problem, only God can rectify that problem. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. The one testified in a certain place, saying. Now, I've got a comment there. Some commentators think because of the way Psalm 8 is introduced, that someone says somewhere that the writer of Hebrews doesn't know who it was that authored the psalm, nor does he know the psalm's location. I don't think that that is true at all. I think he knew exactly who wrote the psalm, and I think he knew exactly where it was located, which number that it was. But he doesn't want to call attention to who wrote it. He doesn't want to call attention necessarily to where it is found. He wants to call attention to what is said. And so goes on. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now we do not yet see all things put under him. In other words, the dominion that man was given and called to exercise, we don't see that. Just look. Do you see man exercising godly dominion over God's creation? No, you do not. So, what's God going to do? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. When was Jesus made a little lower than the angels? When Jesus left glory and took on human flesh. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So what God does is that he restores dominion through Christ. We have that dominion restored in our relationship with Christ. It is because we who belong to Christ, we who have trusted in Christ, are considered to be in Christ. To be in Christ is something that we find 196 times in the Scripture. Again and again and again, we are told of our unique and special privilege of being in Christ. In other words, we are in the one who is the second Adam, the one who has been exalted to the position of dominion and authority. Jesus said, after his resurrection, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, we read of the Son of Man who was to come, who was to be given dominion over all things. And that, of course, is speaking of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ. And so we, in Him, now have that dominion and authority over all things that was lost by Adam's first sin, by our sin and our guilt in Adam. And so that dignity, that authority, that dominion has been restored in Christ for those who belong to Him and are a part of His people. And so we share in that authority with Christ. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, it says that He will reign over the principalities and the powers, that is, over angels. And if Christ reigns over angels in the kingdom, and we sit on the throne with Christ, as Paul, or as the book of Revelation says that we do in Revelation 3:21, then we too will reign with Him over who? Over the angels and over all of His creation. So what was lost has been restored. How has it been restored? It has been restored to us in Christ. And that is our dignity. That is our significance. Do you sometimes feel about this small? Not in relationship to the cosmos, but just in relationship to other people. In relationship to those who exercise in civil government, rule and authority over us? Do you sometimes feel like you're but a speck of dust, relatively speaking? But you know what? You're far more than that. You were made in the image of God. You were crowned with glory and honor. You were given rule, the privilege of rule and authority over all of God's creation. And though that was greatly marred and lost because of Adam's sin, it has been restored in Christ. Your dignity, your honor, your glory is all wrapped up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And right now, presently, He sits on the throne, reigning and exercising dominion over all things, over all nations, over all people, over all creatures, and you in Him, positionally, are ruling and reigning with Him. A position of great authority, great honor, and great dignity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the privilege that is ours to be made in Your image. We thank You for that responsibility that You have given to mankind to exercise dominion. And yet, Father, we know that because of Adam's sin, exercising that dominion has become much more problematic and much more difficult. Father, we know that we have difficulty even exercising dominion over ourselves, let alone over everything else that You have created. And yet, Father, though we lost that dominion in Adam, it was regained in the second Adam, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that restored dignity and honor that we have in him. And Father, we would pray that we would not walk around with a desire for greatness, a desire to be exalted, but rather we would be humble in your sight and in the sight of others, that we would give you praise and thanksgiving for that glory and honor that you have given to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as we go forth from this place this afternoon, that we would remember that position that we have presently in our Savior, who will come from heaven, and every tongue will confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask it in Jesus' holy name.